Father, we thank you tonight for our time of sharing and fellowship. We thank you again you have drawn us by your Holy Spirit, and that we come into this place, into this room. Father, we ask for your mighty blessing, but above all your presence, that Lord you would lead and guide us, and that Father we would hear what you wish us to hear. Father, please help each one of us to apply faith. Mix faith with that which we hear, that we're not only hearers but doers of the word. Lord, we praise and thank you, Father, for being able to come together in unity and oneness, in sharing and in fellowship. And Lord, we commit it now over into your hands. We thank you for the blood of Jesus over us, over the room and over the connection, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, tonight I'm calling our teaching Relying on the Redemptive Power of Christ. Relying on the Redemptive Power of Christ. And I'm basing our teaching tonight Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 4 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, where the apostle speaks of Christ crucified and risen, that he likewise walks the crucified life as a disciple, which we too are to walk in the same way. But note what it says in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and he says here to the Corinthians, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And tonight, as you can see, I'm calling this Relying on the Redemptive Power of Christ. The apostle here revealed that it wasn't just the power of the gospel or even the revelation of the gospel, which are all very important, but God's redemptive power and what he was learning in his preaching as an apostle, in his witness. In fact, this is what the early church was experiencing at Pentecost and afterwards. They were experiencing not only the power of the gospel and the revelation of the gospel, all of which is absolutely paramount, because flesh and blood can't see these things, but the nature of his preaching, teaching was redemptive in power. And I believe that this is something that God is beginning to open our eyes to, as we are being used by the Lord in witness, in our ministries and so on, that whatever we do by the Spirit, whether in action or in deed, it is redemptive in nature. I brought this up a few weeks ago about our faith, that our faith fundamentally is redemptive in nature. And I'm going to speak about this more as I open this up. But when we minister in the Spirit, or by the Spirit, we are to, in a sense, create his own life in what we say and what we do to the people. It is not enough to simply preach or share or evangelize simply just from the Word of God and reciting the Word of God or reciting verses and scriptures. We note here that the apostle says, "My speech and my preaching were not with the persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power." Now, the apostle, of course, could be highly educated, highly knowledgeable of Old Testament, which he was, but he realized that none of that save people. None of that presented the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And he realized that as he too took up his cross and followed the Lord, so it's the self-emptying, the life of Christ being manifested in and through us. He began to see over those years that it's actually the life of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, created within his life. That is, through his consecration, through his sufferings, through his commitment as a disciple, through all his life, that living sacrifice being given to God's people, to the church. What in essence it was doing was creating the life of Christ in and through him. And that is exactly what the Lord is doing through us, through the overcomers, through the bride as she makes herself ready, through us as disciples, who also we're to take up our cross daily and follow Christ. What in essence the Spirit of God is doing is creating the life of Christ through the Holy Spirit, through us, in our ministry, in our outreach, in our example, and as a light to the church. And the life of Christ that's being seen through us in nature is redemptive. The redemptive life of Christ is also the power of Christ, and it's the power of the gospel when presented in a redemptive manner and spirit. Now, why am I emphasizing redemption? Because redemption is about forgiveness. It's forgiving our enemies. It's forgiving those who hurt us or reject us. It is presenting the forgiveness of God to a dying world. Nothing can be more powerfully displayed through the church, through the ministry, through the word, than the redemptive power, the forgiveness of God's love given through lives, preaching, teaching. And the apostle was presenting this and entering into this, and that is why he made such an impact on the churches, and he was able to do what he did. And the people were picking it up. And that is the most important thing. And that is really what he's presenting here. I want us also to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 5 to 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. And again, we get a similar understanding of all of this. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. In other words, what he's saying there, we are ministering to you as slaves, as servants. We are getting nothing out of this in the flesh, in ourselves. This is all for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And he goes on, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, what he's referring to here is something pretty profound. He's actually going right back to Genesis, when God created. And when God spoke light and he spoke darkness, the very creative words, the very words that created the heavens and the earth, you and I, the stars, everything that we can even visibly see. He's using that figurative term here, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So that creative power, the word of God that he spoke into being, is given through Jesus Christ, and that it's ministered to us now through the Holy Spirit. Tremendous what he's saying here. But it goes on. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And that is the key. That is the key to ministry. That is the key to witness, to evangelism. That is the light that God puts into his true body, the body of Jesus Christ. Then, but that it is of God. And that light that the church reveals, that light that is set like on a hill, is redemptive in nature. It is a light that reveals forgiveness and the love of God, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. That is the whole nature of our walk. That is the nature and function of the true church, the body of Christ. And that is how we are brought together in true unity and fellowship. Our true unity and fellowship can only exist when we are willing to decrease, that Christ increases, and that we have that unction, that desire of the Spirit within us. And as he uses this figurative terms and analogies, persecuted, yet we're not forsaken, struck down many times. It looks as though it's impossible. It looks as though we've gone down. There's no way we can get up again this time. Yet we do, by God's grace and mercy. Many times it looks as though we're destroyed. Looks as though nothing can stand sometimes. Yet it's preserved and kept. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. So in our bodies, as we decrease, that he increases, this kenosis experience, that we empty ourselves, that the Spirit, the life of the Spirit in the Holy Spirit, is taking over. We have indeed already received of his fullness, but it's the flesh, it's unforgiveness, it's unbelief, it's sin that can still hinder the fullness of Christ himself being manifested in and through us. But brothers and sisters, the key to this is that when we forgive and we love, we are revealing the redemptive power of Christ in and through us. And that is the key to this. Because at times we try in ourselves to do it. We're trying to love. We're trying to show Christ in and through us. And we can't. Because we're failing to see that when God reveals himself, he reveals himself always in a redemptive way. And rightly so. Because when God reveals himself in a redemptive way, that is through Christ Jesus, that is when you see souls saved. That is when you see souls brought in to the church, that God adds to the church such as should be saved. And that is a scriptural thing. It's not only scriptural, but it's healthy. We never look to numbers, but it is healthy that new blood is brought into the church of Jesus Christ. But how is that new blood brought in? It's brought in by seeing that God is a God of love and mercy and forgiveness. And of whatever is in their lives. And let's face it, when believers come in for a while, it's as though they're bringing all their baggage in with them. But it's how we treat them. It's how we welcome them. All of these things are so important to reveal the power of Christ in and through our lives. And so you see, it's the same in the preaching of the gospel. Unless God is revealed, unless his redemptive power power is revealed, unless the Spirit is creating the life of Christ through the preacher, then the people are never going to change. They're never going to be affected. They're never going to go away having experienced the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And this experience, brothers and sisters, is absolutely vital to the deeper life, to the walk of faith. Otherwise, it's simply just in the mind, in the flesh. It is just simply theological, a head full of knowledge. It is important that we experience this life as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the work the Holy Spirit's doing with us. And because he's recreating that in our lives, that is why we go through the trials and the tests that we do. And the reason that we're buffeted in the manner that we are, because the powers of darkness hate the saints experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ in that way. Because they know that that is the power of the gospel to save. And so many times, sadly, at first, the enemy has more light and understanding about this than we Christians, until God starts to open our eyes. And then we begin to see why the enemy attacks in the nature and manner like he does. Because he doesn't want this going out with preachers and God's people revealing the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So that lives out there are not actually touched by us, but they're touched by Christ, who's recreated through us, through the Holy Spirit. My goodness me. No wonder the enemy doesn't like this. And so the apostle, he knew that his trials, and he went through great trials for the sake of the gospel, but what kept him going was the life of Christ being recreated in and through him, that was reaching out, touching lives, touching churches, so that they were not just merely hearing words, but they were seeing and experiencing, and with the signs following of healing, deliverance, salvation. This, brothers and sisters, is where the greater works comes out. And God is ultimately working this and bringing this in and through us, as we decrease, that he increases. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 36. Romans chapter 8 and verse 36. As it is written, "For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And then, of course, he goes on with those famous words, "I'm persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God." Now, that was ministered to him by the Spirit. They weren't just simply words he was saying to the churches, to the church at Rome, just to try and, make life a bit easier for them. He wasn't patronizing them there. He was speaking always out of experience. That was an experience that was being ministered to him through the life of Christ being created in his life. He knew that experientially. And so that is what God is doing in you and me, brothers and sisters. He's creating these experiences so that they're real. And you see, God's sheep, God's people out there will know when they hear and see something that is real, that is of God. And they will respond to it. And this is very powerful, brothers and sisters. You see, the nature of redemption is that it is accepted by God. And that is the key to this. This is the clue to all of this. I'm calling this tonight relying on the redemptive power of Christ. And the reason that I'm emphasizing this So much is that when we minister, we preach, we evangelize in this heart and spirit, then God will accept this. The nature of redemption is it's accepted by God himself. And when God accepts this, God honors it, he blesses it with his presence, and where his presence is, there is salvation, healing, and deliverance. That is the very presence of God and what it does. So when we see this, when we experience this, what I believe we're experiencing tonight in this room, in our unity and oneness and fellowship, this is revealing the presence of God that is accepting us, because he's accepting the nature of redemption. As we are redeemed, we are forgiven. Sin is cast away as far as the east is to the west. So when God's word is ministered by the Spirit in the nature of mercy and forgiveness, God accepts it. Hallelujah. And that is what he ultimately is doing. That is why a few weeks ago I spoke about our whole meeting, our whole salvation, our whole coming together is worship. It's about worship. And worship means that God accepts it. He accepts this gathering. He accepts this meeting. He accepts this word that is by the Spirit. He accepts it because it's glorifying his name. And that, brothers and sisters, is what we should look for. It's what we test by the Spirit's 1 John 4. It's what we should look for, rely upon. It's the whole basis of our fellowship, our unity and oneness by the Spirit. Hallelujah. You see, I said earlier that our faith that we're being taught, the faith teaching, is fundamentally redemptive in nature. In other words, faith must always operate by the love of God. And if the love of God is there, the word of God is there as well, because we know that faith comes by hearing the word. But the word can only ever do anything in a redemptive manner and way is when it is applied by love. We must never substitute our knowledge, what we're learning, we must never use this in witnessing, evangelism, in preaching. And many do. Sadly, many minister in the carnal, in the flesh, just in mere knowledge, in theological words and jargon. Maybe very clever, intellectually clever, but it is never ministering the redemptive power and forgiveness of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it lacks. And so lives never really change. Unless Christ is recreated in ministry, behind the pulpit, then lives are never going to be ever really touched. What is really ultimately touched is just the pride of man in knowledge. And so we must never substitute our knowledge in witnessing or evangelism, in merely the word or the law or of the letter. Because it's unfruitful. And it doesn't do anything. And lives ultimately never really change. And Jesus was always emphasizing this with the disciples. He was always showing them that the nature of walking with God is to forgive, to pardon. He was always revealing this. We'll just look at a few scriptures to just reiterate and show what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples as he's teaching us. For example, in Matthew 18, verse 21. In Matthew 18. Matthew 18. And verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, of course, that must have taken him by surprise. But he was never going to fully understand and realize that. Not the redemptive forgiveness of that until he was baptized in the... Then the lights begin to turn on. And it's very much the same with us at times. We don't receive everything straight away because we're ever learning. Our eyes are all the while being opened, our ears unblocked. It's a progression. It's a growing all the time. We see again in Proverbs 25, I'm reminded when I read those two verses there of what our Lord said. The Lord even said, if you see me hungry, feed me. If you see me naked, clothe me. If you see me destitute, take me in. If I'm in prison, visit me, and so on. The Lord's identifying similar right here what we've just read about even our enemies. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink, and so on. Now the point is, what is being revealed here is that you probably had insight or experience that is your enemy. That your enemy has done you wrong, he's done you evil, and so with that knowledge and understanding of the nature of that person, God is saying, yes, but if you see them hungry, feed them. And if you see them thirsty, give them a drink. That's what he's saying. He's not saying that you are to feed them or give them bread and yes, you do that, but then you found out maybe a few hours later or a few days later that they weren't actually your friend, they were your enemy. No, that's not what he's saying there. He's actually saying with the light and understanding or the experience you've had from them, he says with that knowledge, you feed your enemy. You give him bread. You give him water. Because in doing so, you heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. What is God showing there? He's showing that in that nature of forgiveness, you are showing the redemption of God. The forgiveness of God. So our whole life, our whole walk, our whole presentation of Christ who is in us, the hope of glory, is in a manner of redemption. And we must learn this, brothers and sisters. And the only way that can ever be done is as we decrease, that he increases in our lives. And the way we do that is disciples, that we too daily take up our cross and we follow him. And that cross that you take up in your life is going to work that death to the self life, that selfish life that is within us that always wants to put self first. And the cross will deal with that self life so that you can put that self life to the cross as the Spirit works that, so that you will find that you can start to serve. Because it's in the nature of serving do we reveal the redemption and the power of Christ in and through us. That's the only way it can ever work. It's the only way it can ever work in evangelism. It's the only way it can ever work in the preaching of the gospel, in our witness, with our families, and so on. And brothers and sisters, when we are grasping this, then we can start to stand upon these promises of God. And we can believe for the salvation of our loved ones, our rebellious son or daughter, or whatever it is. That is the confidence that's ministered to you by the Spirit. God has heard your prayers. Hallelujah. That is what quickens our faith. So it is vital that we understand that in our ministry, that we're just not simply ministering by the word or by the law or simply by the letter or how much scripture I know. God doesn't work that way. You can only learn the word of God by the Spirit. That is how the Holy Spirit wants you to learn God's Word. That is why so many times, often you will find that God is not always in these theological colleges. Because it is not always being ministered by the power of the Spirit. The church is to be the school. The church, if you watch, has lost the power of the Spirit over the centuries. Gone into confusion, into division, into denominationalism. That is why you got all this that comes out of it. The church was meant to be the schooling. And the schooling is fundamentally the life of Christ being recreated through you and me. As we put the flesh life to death by the cross that we take up daily and follow. That is the schooling. That is the experience. And you see, so often in our witness, in our teaching, we need the Holy Spirit to represent the truth as he is revealed to us. Not what you think he could be. And that is why the enemy works so much in trying to deceive and bring in confusion and doctrines of demons. Because with that confusion and doctrines of demons, you cannot reveal the life of Christ. You're revealing something else. You may be revealing that person who is preaching and their knowledge and their understanding, but what is being received is the person, the flesh. And sadly, that is a lot of that that's presented around Christendom. Or there can be another way of receiving, and that is by demonic means, doctrines of demons. So in essence, really, what you are receiving that's being recreated to you is actually the devil as an angel of light. That's why it's so serious, brothers and sisters. But when the Holy Spirit is taking hold of lives, taking hold of preachers, taking hold of the fivefold ministry, and he is now recreating himself, he is being seen through the lives, through the preaching, through the signs that follow, and so on, then you have lives that are changed. And the way you always test that, 1 John 4, testing the spirits, is that being ministered in redemption. In other words, are lives being changed? Are they being conformed to the risen Lord Jesus Christ? Is peace, joy being ministered to saints' hearts and lives? Are lives changing? Is deliverance happening through the Word of God? They are the tests that we put to ministry in light of our change. Now, of course, you can't always get that immediately. Sometimes it takes time. But that is paramount if we're to receive the light of God in that manner. And so we've got to avoid using enticing words of man's wisdom and human logic. Even in our witnessing, if God leads us to witness to someone, avoid enticing words. Avoid man's wisdom. Human logic. They don't want to hear that. They can pick that up from philosophers. Or they can go to a psychiatrist or to a doctor and they'll tell them all of that. Or a teacher. No. They need to hear and experience the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who is in you through the Holy Spirit being recreated to them. In what spirit and manner? Redemption, forgiveness, hope, and so on. That is why we're totally, totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. You can do nothing unless it is revealed. Unless it is given to you from above, you can do nothing. And when we want that, when we settle for that and believe for that, then you will start to receive the power from God through you in weakness. You see, we can say, yes, that's what I want, yes, amen. But when the Spirit begins to try and work that one, then we're not so happy, because sometimes for a season there's pain attached to it. But that is ultimately how we are to minister. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. And here it says, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And so it goes on. So what is the key to this? You're getting it. It is praying in the Spirit. It is using those tongues that you are baptized in the Spirit with. And that is why the devil tries to stop saints from speaking in their own personal tongue through the baptism. Because by doing that, by praying in the Spirit, speaking by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit then is interpreting, he's giving you the unction, the words, the revelation, the understanding. He's giving you all of that to whoever you are ministering to. And not only with that, but he might even give you a word of knowledge or something about that person that you never knew about, that can get their attention. You cannot limit the Holy Spirit, how he can work, when you lay yourselves open and just do it God's way. We know also that it speaks of this again in Jude 20, where we're to pray in our most holy faith, building ourselves up in our faith, our holy faith. Again, there's the principle of being in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, talking in the Spirit. Sometimes, you know, when I find that God opens up to share with someone, or I start to witness, I'm finding myself in my mind beginning to pray in tongues, speak in tongues. I'm asking the Lord, Lord, give me the words, give me the wisdom, the interpretation. Let me present Christ to them, not me. Not my words, not my logic, not even my zeal that wants them to be saved or come to church. We all want that. And sometimes we've allowed that to come in, to cramp them, to put them off. No, no. We're totally and utterly dependent on the Holy Spirit at that point when we are ministering and being led by God. Also Romans 8, 26, 27, you can read that. You know that well, that praying in the Spirit, all things working together for good and so forth. You see, our ministry should be revealing Jesus Christ. And when they see him alive in and through you and me, that is when you begin to see lives change. Because they are seeing forgiveness, redemption being ministered, life being ministered by the Spirit, you see. And so, you know, as we pray in the Spirit, we wait on God, so the Holy Spirit searching out the hearts, the person, revealing to you, telling you, showing you what you should say. Do you know, actually, when you look at a program or on television, particularly when it's a program where people are being interviewed, often you find the interviewer has a little speaker, little microphone in the ear. There's something that's in the ear. Now what that is from the control room, they're speaking to that interviewer, and they're giving them messages. They're telling them what to do or what to say next. Or if they're interviewing a politician or whatever it would be, maybe sometimes they're saying, well, don't go down that road. It might cause problems. So they're in communication from the controls. They hear what they're to do, what they're to say. Well, let's now take that over to the spiritual. That's what God is actually doing with us. It's like a spiritual hearing aid that we are tuned to, that we listen to what God's saying, so that he's telling us what to say, when to say it, to that person, or whether you're ministering to saints, and so on. You know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, when I'm preaching to you, suddenly sometimes God speaks to me as I'm preaching, because he wants something else to be said that he wants you to hear, that I wouldn't have known 2 minutes earlier. But that can only come by the Spirit, you see. And that is exactly the same principle that he's doing and wants to do with you also. Now, can you see why the enemy tries to stop and hinder us? Because when you are in communication with God, and hearing from God, nothing can hinder that. Nothing can separate that. That is a power line. That is why it says in the word, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It is done by the Spirit of God. And at that point, nothing can separate that. Nothing can hinder that unless we allow it to happen. And so our ministry in closing now should be revealing the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will see that he is alive today. That you're not speaking about history. That you're not just speaking about things of the past or what just simply happened to you. But what you are witnessing, what you are presenting to the world, to people, through ministry, through the pulpit, you are presenting and giving the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive today, now, this moment, and always. That is why, brothers and sisters, it is so important for you to, if you want to grow, that you hear what the Spirit is saying to the church now, today. Messages of the past, yes, they're fine. We have many of them online through our website. But there is nothing more powerful than also hearing what the Spirit is saying today. That is vital for us. Why do I say that? Because that's you hearing, not by flesh and blood, not by man's wisdom, but it is you hearing by the Spirit, Christ, through the Holy Spirit, what he's saying to us today, now. That is also vital for our spiritual growth as well into sons and daughters of God. Absolutely imperative. So that is what I believe the Lord wanted us to hear tonight, and that is relying on the redemptive power of Christ. Everything is done in love, forgiveness. Yes, at times going that extra mile. Yes, at times when you feel there's nothing left in you, you just feel you have no energy or whatever it is, yet the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you, because we walk by faith and not by sight, you'll find that in your weakness, God is just strengthening you, empowering you. There are many times, brothers and sisters, when I have no strength sometimes to preach, sometimes just to come on and minister the word of God. It's like there's nothing. Yet I've settled it that I walk by faith and not by sight. And God has said many times, simply open your mouth and I will fill it. And he does. You see, we have to learn that sometimes God doesn't reveal things too far ahead. You see, else we wouldn't walk by faith. And that principle applies in everything. even when you're feeling weak or you're feeling down or sometimes you're just not feeling 100%. Yet you find that when you just move forward in faith, God just strengthens you. He revives you. He just raises you up, not in your own strength, but in His power and in His might. And that is why, as I close now, your life, your walk, your testimony, everything that God does through you and will do through you is going to be through your weakness, so that the life and power of Christ is raised up through you. Because remember, that is the very power that raised Christ from the dead, is the very same power that is at your disposal, working in and through you, ministering the life of Christ to a dying world. That is the church's light. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, tonight again, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us. You never leave us or forsake us. You're ever encouraging us, Lord. You're always showing us, Lord, that we can walk on, we can move forward. Even in our weakness, even when we're down, we feel destitute, when sometimes it feels as though the heavens are like brass, yet you are still there. And Lord, we're learning more and more the value of our fellowship, our coming together, even in this room tonight, when we come and hear your word and share one with another the love of Jesus Christ. It uplifts us, it feeds us, it revives us, Lord. It's what we feed off, because it's the life of Christ. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for manifesting yourself tonight, Lord, in and through us and in this room. Lord, how true it is where you said, where two or three gather together, there am I in the midst of you. And you've been with us, Lord, tonight. And we want to thank you for that. And Lord, I pray you'll bless and preserve and keep all my brothers and sisters. Lord, be with them. Give them those traveling mercies. Give them good health, Father. Keep them from the evil one, from the temptation. Father, even when they're going down or going through temptation or their deep trials, Father, Lord, may your presence just be there ministering to them, Father. Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, we look forward to our fellowship together, Father, all the while you still tarry. And so, be with us this night and always, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.